some of what Keith mentioned in his prayer. I'll paraphrase some of it, but that's kind of in my thinking where I wanted to start off. You know, some of the things we'll be looking at is how God dealt with those in the past. But there's things we can learn from that. And not only how he dealt with them, how he's proven who he is, and these wonders and things that we're going to see in Joshua that show of his might and his love and concern for his people. And there's application for us today. You know, we have these things to look at, these evidences, you know, this historical evidence. And this proves who he is and then shows that he deserves our attention and what he expects of his people. Now, although some of the laws and stuff, we know we're not under that law, but still when we look to the New Testament, and again, we see how it has proven who he is and those that represent him, and then what those that trust in him should be doing. Thank you for being here this morning. As I mentioned, we'll be studying a new class. I think we all know, but I'm just going to mention it for the recording. This is the class is Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And as far as the packet I handed out to everyone, or if you've done it digitally, and I do want to say something about that. If I want to thank Rocky for bringing to my attention, I left out the charts on the digital side, so I appreciate that because there would have been some confusion if I start mentioning charts and you don't see it if you're doing it through the digital way instead of the paper copy. But thank you, Rocky. But this booklet, if you will, that I've handed out, this covers, it's going to have two charts in it. It's the timeline and Jewish dispensation chart. Now, I borrowed these from Steve's material, so that's why I put a footnote at the bottom of those. That's material I borrowed from him. And we will see also that we have this introduction to Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And then we will look, it probably won't be today, but most likely our next class will be the introduction to Joshua before we get into the actual classes of Joshua. Now, you might have noticed, if any of those that's been in classes that I've taught before, the material looks a little different than the way I usually approach it. I usually have quite a bit of stuff on the pages that I hand out, but I'm trying to approach it a different way this time. And although we still will have more material than what you're seeing on the page, but that's going to give us opportunity to note things and put it in your own words. So I encourage you to do that as we go over some of this material. One thing I would ask, I'm sure most of you already have, but let's take the time to read those three books, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, if you haven't already. And also, once we get into the actual class periods, before that particular class, if you'll read that chapter. Couldn't get my brain working. If you'll read that chapter to prepare us for class and also look over the material that I had. You know, I mentioned that there's not a lot on the material itself as far as, because I don't have a lot of questions. I didn't approach it with a lot of questions. There are some. But so this is just some things we will be kind of going through the chapter or chapters. There's some that have been grouped together because of the topic. But as we go through that, then we will might have some questions and things to consider and think about. And then, again, you can note that on your copy. And just to speak to the material itself, I have more that I'll be handing out and more we'll be uploading. But what you have here is actually, although it's pretty thin, that's going to cover several classes. And then, let's see, did I give you well, this will probably cover two classes. And I'll hand out Joshua 1 and 2 so we can have some of it as well. I believe if you did digital, you've already have that. But we will, these classes won't necessarily represent a time period. And what I mean by that is some of them, for example, class one is going to cover chapter one. We might cover it in one period or one class setting, or we might go a little over. So they don't necessarily represent it in that way. I'm not that good to be able to put it on one sheet of paper and make it work within a certain time frame. So, but that's okay, because we have some that might be shorter than others. And, I mean, I am keeping in mind the overall view of the amount of classes we have and what all we want to accomplish. So I've given us a little bit of cushion towards the end so we can do the classes that way. And if we end up having time, then we can look at some other things that we weren't able to look at in the class themselves, maybe some more application to us. So that's just kind of giving you an idea of how we're going to approach some of this. Now, I mentioned that I handed out this timeline chart in this Jewish dispensation. So these are estimated dates. But it will be helpful to us when we're looking at some of the things to get a kind of an idea of maybe times that we're covering, and definitely the dispensation that we're in, because what we're going to be talking about is going to be under that Jewish dispensation. So, before I get into what I have here, are there any questions about the material itself or anything like that? If not, okay, good. Okay, so on your introduction to Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, it starts off by saying, I posed the question, or how are these linked? And I stated on there that the law of Moses is linked with Joshua, and we see that from the last book of the Pentateuch, or the first five books, the books that Moses wrote. And we see that it's linked to the beginning of Joshua. Now, the Pentateuch traces the history and the redemption of the covenant nation, but it stops short of the actual possession of this land. And we'll, here in a moment, we'll see some of what's going on with that. Actually, we can look at that now. If you'll turn over to Numbers 20, let's look at Numbers 20 for a second. We're going to look at verses 10 through 12. Numbers 20, 10 through 12. It says, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, 'Listen, now you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.'" go up to verse 7 and 8 for a second. We see up here, we know the issue was they were needing water. And in verse 7 it said, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, or saying, take the rod. And you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So we see here, he was to speak to the rock before the people. And they would see this as a result of, you know, see what takes place. But instead, he struck the rock. And the speaking that he did was to the people. So whatever, you know, people have different thoughts on what the issue was. These are just some facts right there that, yes, he struck the rock, but what he was speaking to was not the rock. He was speaking to the people, and I think it has to do with his attitude. But regardless, your thought on that, we see that it was displeasing to God. What does the Lord tell him at the end of verse 12? That's a question. Say it again. Okay, yeah. You got a different teacher, but he has one of the same problems. So I don't hear real well either, but that's correct. He tells them that because of this, you know, you're not going to lead the people into the land. So in Deuteronomy 34, let's look over at Deuteronomy 34. And I did note that one on your lesson. So Deuteronomy 34. Let's look at verse 1. It said, now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev and the plain in the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, after, you know, picture, he's looking at this, says, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. Then he tells Moses, I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So we know that Moses and Aaron will not go to the land. And then verse 5, it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. I find it interesting, when you look at verse 7, it says that although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So to me, that describes that although this age, which we know they lived a lot longer back then, although this was his age, his death was not because of age. So this isn't because he died of an old age. It speaks to what we just looked at above. He's not going to enter into this land. So then we go on from there. In verse 9, it says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, we're not going to go into a lot on this, because this is, right now, we're looking at our big view. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. together. But we see here that Joshua is going to be his successor, and he's going to lead this redeemed nation into possession of that land that was promised. So Joshua 1:1, if you'll turn over to Joshua 1:1, we'll read the first two verses. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, to the sons of Israel.'" So we see that Joshua is going to take over, and he's going to accomplish this promise by taking them over to the land. And if you go down to verse 16, just a note, and again, we'll go over this more when we get into the Joshua class, but you see the people's response in verse 16, and they answered Joshua saying, "All that I have commanded..." Or let me say that again. "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." So we see this idea of Joshua taking over at this point, and the people agreeing that they will follow him. They know that the Lord is with him. So when we consider that, that brings us into the book of Joshua. So we're wanting to look at or consider how is Joshua linked with Judges. Now, just like we saw at the end of the Pentateuch and the beginning of Joshua, how they were linked, how there's some references of what was going on and one thing to the other. You see Joshua starting. Then you see, we will also see that Judges is, or Joshua is linked to Judges. Let's look at Joshua 24, the last book. Or last chapter, I should say, in the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, 29 through 31. So like I said, we haven't looked at much of what's gone on through this book. We've looked at the beginning of Joshua because we see going from Moses to Joshua. Now the end of the book of Joshua, we're going to see some similarities of things changing over. In verse 29, Joshua 24, 29 says, "And it came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." So he died at the age of 110. "And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gash." And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. That is what the Lord had done for Israel. And I just want to mention, because we had a little pause in between there. That's because the teacher's trying to say some of these locations. So I might not pronounce it like you do, but that's okay. And I'm not claiming it's because I know how to say it by any means. But we will. You'll at least know what I'm talking about as we follow along on that. I just wanted to point that out. So, we see this idea that here Joshua dies. So now we jump over to Judges 1, the next page over. Judges 1:1. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?'" So we see something taking place here. There's a change. There's no more Joshua. So what do we do? Let's look at chapter 2. We'll look at verses 6 through 10 again, kind of showing about the death of Joshua. Said, "When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua." So we're seeing some of this same thing. "Who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel." So when we get into the book of Judges, we will look to more of the meat, if you will, or what all it's discussing there. So again, right now what we're trying to do is just see some links. Judges, and I mark here Judges and Ruth, are linked with 1 and 2 Samuel. Now the reason why I put that there in that way is, from what I'm understanding, Judges and Ruth in the Septuagint, which was the Hebrew canon, were linked together. And the same thing with 1 and 2 Samuel. Now this is just from studying some of the other materials that I was looking at to see how others have approached it. And as I've done research, I've seen how others agree with that. But there's some that don't when you look at some of that. But consider that Judges and Ruth were one book, and 1 and 2 Samuel were one book. So in Ruth 4, and again, I want, if anybody has any comments, or I'm just kind of going on here, because right now we're just doing the introduction, and I'm just trying to explain some of how we're going to look at this. But if you have any comments or any thoughts, please just get my attention or say something. Okay. So, Judges and Ruth are linked with 1 and 2 Samuel. Let's look at Ruth 4:17. And I'm not going to, I have listed 17 through 22, and I'm not going to read all of that. But if you looked at it, you'll see where we're going with this. We'll see this genealogy that is happening here in verses 17 through 22. I'll read verse 17. It says, "And the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And then if you look over to 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. And again, I've listed verses 1 through 13, and we're not going to take the time to read all that. But we see how these can be linked. And one of the things that is linked right here is this idea of David, the renowned king of Israel, and how these are linked together. So Judges and Ruth, by tracing the lineage of David, and Samuel, or to Samuel, the prophet that anointed David, we can see this link here. And I also noted that the events recorded in both of these books take place, that is, Judges and Ruth, they take place during the time of Judges. So these links, the way that these things kind of flow together, if you will, show this continuation of Israel's written historical record. Remember, we started off talking about historical evidence. So these are some things that show this historical record. And we, as we dive into some of what we're going to look at about the books themselves and the specific chapters themselves, we'll see some things of, like we mentioned, how God dealt with others in the past, and things that he did that not only proved to his people who he was, but those around him, because we'll see some of that when we get into some of the other chapters. In Joshua, because you'll have comments in there of what these people had heard about this God and the reaction, or what they do because of what they've heard about this God. And again, let's consider when we look at this stuff. We're very fortunate, because we can look back at these things that we say are evidence or historical evidence. And not only that, we can look back at the New Testament as well. And we have before us something that pretty much gives us the answer to any of those types of questions. So do we look at that? I hope we can learn some things as we study this together. I don't think that I'll present anything new to y'all. Most of y'all have been students for a long time. But I hope maybe I can prick your memory and bring some things up, and that we would consider this God that we serve and his great love that he's proven over and over. And we'll see in some of this history, even though he's proven it, and even though they say that they're going to follow him or his representative, doesn't always work that way. So those are things for us to remember. Yes, Rocky, you had a comment? Holy Spirit, yes, sir.
So when we think about the Bible, sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit is kind of an inspired one who's linking all these books together, and it's kind of another proof of why the Bible is inspired.
Good point, Rocky. Yeah, because Rocky brings up a good point that I didn't even think to mention. You know, yes, we've looked at the links, but these are people that are guided by the Holy Spirit when these things are written. And, you know, when we think about that in all of the different books that we have, you know, number one, believers, then that gives us confidence of what we're reading, that we can trust in it. And so that's a good point that Rocky brings up. So let's remember that these are written by the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't just come by chance that these things are linked. These are things that, although when we read different stuff or different books, not even just this class, when we're looking at the different things, we might not even notice some of what the Holy Spirit has intended for us to gain from it. Those things are going to happen as we grow. Those are going to happen if we do what we're expected to do, and that's to grow in the knowledge. So if we're doing our part, not saying that we will all end up with the same knowledge as far as our ability, because we have different abilities. But even people that have studied the Bible all their life, and that might be a few years older than us, they still gain new knowledge from it. You know, as you read and you refresh your mind on some of these things, you're going to, hopefully, you gain more things from them too as you study over and over. And that's the benefit of studying this wonderful book, or when I say book, I mean this grouping of books, this Bible. It's what you can gain from it is not limited. But we have to do the work. We have to, God's not going to zap us with it. We've got to look to His Word, and we should be growing in that. And again, we don't all grow the same. We don't all have the same abilities. It's what we do with our abilities. That's a different thing. But we should be using them as well. So, these links show this continuation in Israel's written historical records. And this was kind of like an overview or a big picture. So you've got the Pentateuch, the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and they trace this development of the nation of Israel and that land promise. And with the end of the Pentateuch, bringing God's chosen nation to this land, then you have the book of Joshua, where it begins what is called the 12 historical books. So we see that Joshua will lead them into this promised land. And then you also see that the rest of these 12 books, they traced history of that promised land and the expulsion and the return. So these are things that we can gain from there. What time is it? Okay, we got about 7 minutes. Try and see that clock, see what it was on. Are there any other questions or anything that y'all would like to bring up before I go any further? Any thoughts? Yes, sir.
Telling us affects how the nation progresses, how they get to the land of Canaan, how they're governed. Now we're going to give you the backstory of how David came to be. David wouldn't have been without Ruth.
Right.
And then we're going to move into Samuel and the impact that Samuel had and how that transitions us through that. You know, sometimes we look at the Bible and we want all the answers. You know, the Bible is supposed to tell me everything. No, the Bible is written with a specific purpose.
Yes.
I mean, going from Genesis 3 to Genesis 12, it talks about how it's all foreshadowing Christ's coming. And this is the purpose that it's written with. And it's written from the perspective of progressing this story so that we can understand how God not only dealt with his people, but how he keeps his covenants with mankind. And ultimately, you know, how our salvation comes to be. And how he deals with his people also gives us an example. I like how that thread ties through, and it comes from different perspectives.
Yes.
We may have the overview of how the nation's progressing, and we have this one infinite story. Esther is another one of those that without Esther, you know, without Ruth, these pivotal moments in time, the Jewish nation may not have progressed, or David may not have come to be. But it's got that thread linking it through to get us to the point where we're going to have Christ on the scene, and without Christ, and it's a providence of God, you know.
Yeah.
How many times did the nation of Israel or these pivotal moments hang in the balance, or had this one action not happened, why would we not get to where we are now? And so it should, I think, help us also build our faith. And if Ruth not gone through her situation, if Esther not gone through hers, if we not come through these, we can see God guiding us through to fulfill the covenant within Christ.
Okay. Good thoughts. Good thoughts. Anybody else? That's a hand. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand, Ronnie. Okay. If there's not any other thoughts, we're going to go ahead and we will stop here. We got a couple minutes left. So that gives you a chance. Now we got a couple minutes left. If you got any more thoughts or questions? But we'll go ahead. If there aren't any others, then we will stop here, and we can start up in our next class at the introduction to Joshua itself. So we'll have more to say on that. Again, this part of it was just a brief overview, just to see how things were linked. But then in Joshua, when we look at that introduction, we'll have more things to learn about it that's going to pertain to the book of Joshua. And then we will go from there. So thank y'all for your attention. And again, if you haven't, please read Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And the next class we will cover will be the introduction to Joshua, and that will be at least one class period. So if you're up to that, if you've looked over that, you're in good shape. So, and then after that, we'll start in the actual chapters, like 1 through 24 and all that. So thank you.